1420 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Hurricane Melissa has made landfall in southwest Jamaica as a powerful and slow-moving storm. Meteorologist Jessica Birch is tracking it.
All those southern communities right now along that coastline, they're gearing up for about 13-foot storm surge. This is tied for second when it comes to the highest sustained winds in the center of a hurricane ever. And we're talking about 185-mile-per-hour winds there. Tropical storm and hurricane-force winds impacting the island of Jamaica right now, up to around 40 inches of rain expected.
Laiska Powell is Emergency Services Manager for Jamaica's Red Cross.
Biggest concern, flooding, landslides. A lot of the communities, especially along the southern coast, they're low-lying.
Education Minister Dana Dixon.
You're going to have entire areas that are decimated to a large extent.
The storm is one of the strongest ever to make landfall in the Atlantic. Cuba and the Bahamas are preparing as well. CBS News Special Report.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 97.5 WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Alyssa Kay. Some Wisconsinites' health care premiums could skyrocket by $30,000 a year if Congress doesn't continue the insurance tax subsidies, one of the biggest sticking points of the government shutdown. Savannah Tomey-Olson reports.
People who buy health insurance through the healthcare.gov marketplace can qualify for what are essentially discounts on their insurance to make it more affordable. Those discounts are set to expire at the end of the year, which would make healthcare coverage more expensive for up to 42 million Americans. Here in Wisconsin, about 313,000 people have plans they bought on the marketplace, and 88% of those qualify for some sort of tax credit. On average, those tax credits save Wisconsinites $664 a month. But leaders say costs will surge for some people. Governor Tony Evers.
Middle-class family of four in Wausau see their premium more than double, going from $886 a month to over $2,300 a month. 60-year-old couple in Rice Lake, making about $85,000 a year, could see their premium rocket 800%. That's an annual increase of over $30,000 in costs.
And that's just for the premiums to have insurance before even thinking about things like filling prescriptions or going to the ER. Democrats in Congress say they will not agree to end the shutdown unless the tax credits will continue. Republicans have said they would consider extending the tax credits after reopening the government. Milwaukee Congresswoman Gwen Moore.
We're going to see families like this take some risks and simply drop their coverage and just cross their fingers and pray. Maybe we could just get by and show up in the emergency room if something really goes bad.
Data shows when healthcare systems, the government, and charities have to absorb the costs of the uninsured, prices go up for everyone. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomey-Olson.
And I'm Alyssa Kay for WFHR WIRI News.
It's the Bucks and the Knicks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks host the New York Knicks. Milwaukee coming off a disappointing loss in Cleveland, 118-113 to fall to 2-1. Bucks center Miles Turner.
Being new to this group, you know, my key messaging to everybody was like, you got to look forward, you know, to playing from behind. You know, it's the NBA, stuff's gonna happen. At times you'll find yourself in unfortunate positions, but I just think it's very important that, you know, if we want to be, you know, a playoff caliber team or a championship caliber team, we gotta, you know, really embrace, you know, being down. And I think we did a good job of that in that third quarter. And there's no excuses in this league. You know, it doesn't matter who's out there, you know, we all lace them up and try to go out there and compete.
Baseball, Game 4 of the World Series tonight in Los Angeles. The Dodgers leading the series 2-1 over the Blue Jays after winning last night 6-5. The game went past midnight. The Dodgers' Freddie Freeman with a walk-off home run in the bottom of the 18th inning to win the game. With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mostly cloudy sky on tap for your Tuesday afternoon. East to southeast winds a bit breezy with highs in the mid-50s. Overnight, we keep mostly cloudy skies, still breezy and mid-30s. On Wednesday, mostly sunny and highs in the low to mid-50s. It's 53 at our studios.
The dunks.
Driving down the lane to the rim, and he rips it down with a right hand.
The daggers.
Got it! Got it! And a foul!
John Blackwell is feeling it.
The exclamation point.
Jack on the run down the lane to the rim, and he sends it down.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Again, and that's 100 for the Wisconsin Badgers.
You're on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I talk with Chicago attorney Robert Held, who is among the protesters who were detained for protesting outside the ICE facility in Broadview. We discuss his 8 hours in custody.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Yeah, across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh along Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Tuesday, October 28th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome in, everybody, at the world headquarters of Civic Media, downtown Madison, at the intersection of State Street and Fairchild. Summer is a cloudy day as we take a look at the Sam Davidson street cam in downtown Madison this morning. Cloudy fall day, seasonal out there, people milling about downtown Madison. Leaves starting to, well, the one tree across the street there still has a lot of green on it, but the other one is yellowish and losing its leaves. Kind of like my hair, losing its leaves. Zommers, I feel like my voice has gotten worse again today. Would you?
I think a little bit.
A little bit. Apologize to all of our listeners. Continue to push through. I mean, I'm just glad so far it's nothing worse than a salivary gland stone. And I think some seasonal allergies, but yeah, I apologize. It's not more pleasant to listen to, but we'll try to push on. And big show today. Glad to have you along with us here in hour number two, a Wisconsin fun fact and very seasonal edition of what's worse today, raking leaves or cleaning gutters. We'll talk about that in hour two. It'd be a good time to have by all. Gonna follow up on a story that we started yesterday on changes happening at CBS News. Of course, the parent company Paramount has been bought by Skydance or merged with Skydance. And they hired Barry Weiss, who ran the conservative-leaning Free Press. They paid her 7 times the value for that online publication, $150 million. And they made her the editor-in-chief of CBS News. And now yesterday there was word from John Dickerson himself, one of the co-anchors of the CBS Evening News. He is leaving that broadcast and the network by the end of the year. Unclear whether it was entirely his choice. And now 60 Minutes, former 60 Minutes producer Bill Owens speaking out. And more news today. Changes coming fast and furious. Paramount's going to announce at least 1,000 job cuts tomorrow. And Barry Weiss, you're not going to believe who she's courting to bring into CBS News. We're going to tell you that in a little while here. Also going to talk about Governor Evers' press conference yesterday and laying out, and I think this is good, in real terms, what it's going to cost Wisconsinites for their Affordable Care Act, i.e., also known as Obamacare. What's going to cost Wisconsinites new premiums if the tax credits are not extended by Congress as a part of this shutdown? We'll tell you in real numbers what that's going to mean. Also, we didn't get to this. There's been one of these, you know, so many things out there. I feel it's, I think we should need to just revisit this, and we will today. Over the weekend, Canada put out a great ad from Ontario to put in context what traditional Republicans in this country, especially Ronald Reagan, thought of tariffs, and Donald Trump did not like it. We'll let you hear the ad for yourself on that as well. Other news, and so we got a great cut by our own Mike Clemens. He interviewed Aaron Rodgers over the weekend as part of that Steelers-Packers game. And I don't think it's been played in its entirety. We'll play it later on today. Great question by our own Mike Clemens to Aaron Rodgers about an iconic moment in his time in Green Bay, in Rodgers' own words. We'll play that for you as well.
Yeah, great question and a great answer, I will say.
It really was. And by the way, you stayed up, Sabres, for the World Series last night?
I stayed up for part of it. Once we got to the bottom of inning 12, I just said, you know what? It's time to call it a night. My roommate, who's super into baseball, he went to bed in the middle of inning 11. And I was like, you know what? If he's not staying up for this, I'm just going to go to bed.
It was a two for one game. It went a full 18 innings. 18. Most of them. Ball games are nine. So basically, they played two games last night. Got done in the wee hours of the morning. And
God, I'm so tired.
Freddie Freeman, who, of course, gave the Brewers everything they could handle and more in the NLCS. Freddie Freeman in the bottom of the 18th, as Mike Clemens reported. Walk-off home run. Dodgers win 6-5. They go up three games to one, right? I don't know what it was. No, it's two games to one. Right now. So anyway, it was an exciting World Series and game last night. I did not watch it. I was trying to recuperate the voice, and it's chilling out last night. But anyway, we'll keep on that as well. But first, at 11 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock, want to bring you this. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time because it's international news, but I think it's of the importance that we need to at least mention this on this program. Headline, courtesy of the Associated Press, Gaza ceasefire tested as Israel and Hamas exchange fire and blame. In the Gaza Strip today, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that he has ordered the army to immediately carry out quote-unquote powerful strikes in Gaza. And Hamas responded by saying it would delay handing over the body of a hostage, putting new pressure on the tenuous U.S.-brokered ceasefire. Associated Press reporters and witnesses heard tank fire and saw explosions in various parts of Gaza, including Gaza City. The order for the strike came after an Israeli official said Hamas had fired on its forces in southern Gaza and after the Palestinian militant group handed over body parts yesterday that Israel said were the partial remains of a hostage recovered earlier in the war. To kind of just cut to the chase on this, and I'm no expert, but listening to actual legitimate expert reporting out of the region, part of the ceasefire deal was that Hamas would turn over the live hostages, which, as far as we know, they've done to date to Israel, and Israel turned over Palestinian prisoners to Palestine, which they did. And then the other part of it was that Hamas would turn over the remains of those hostages that died while in captivity. And it's been going, they've been delivering remains. And yesterday they were supposed to deliver Hamas's remains to Israel. And after the testing by the official Israeli department that does autopsies, through DNA evidence, they determined that the body parts that were given to them were, how shall I put it, more remains from someone they already had. So in other words, obviously the body had been completely decomposed, and so they already had those remains, and through DNA they were able to say, no, you didn't give us everything. This is nothing new. This is remains of somebody we already have. And that's kind of set things off. I don't know that anyone really expected this so-called Trump broker deal to hold. And as I've said in this program before, if Trump's people had anything to do with the ceasefire, look, I'm glad for it. But the ceasefire, as many are in this region of the world, is tenuous at best. So we'll continue to follow that on this Tuesday for you as well. Much closer to home here in Wisconsin, and we've talked about this on this program before, and it's something I think is only going to continue to be one of the top stories in this state. Data centers, whatever you want to call them. This from Channel 3000 here in Madison, the CBS affiliate. The village of DeForest, which is just it's a suburb just north of Madison, has been approached for a possible data center. A data center company is exploring whether to build a center in the village of DeForest, according to village administrator Bill Chang. He said that the QTS data centers approached DeForest about possibly annexing land for the center. The village has not yet received any petition for annexation or land use approvals. Chang said if an annexation petition was filed with the village, it would be reviewed with state statutes and with other considerations of the project's impact on the village. The project will also be reviewed by the Wisconsin Department of Administration. We're seeing this all over the state. And God bless Charlie Behrens, who normally does not wade into partisan political battles. Great comedian, great, you know, he hosts Minute to Walk Minute. He's the Keep Her Moving guy. You see him now on Quick Trip ads. Great guy. And he's using his platform, Charlie Behrens, to bring awareness to this and say, look, these data centers, they ain't everything that they're cracked up to be. And we've had people on this program before talking about this. I don't like them at all. I'll just be honest. I don't think there's any reason to have them in Wisconsin. Look, we're going to have data centers in the United States, whether they come to Wisconsin or not. And this whole line that they're using to sell this to people in Wisconsin is, oh, look at the jobs we're going to create. Look at the tax base we'll create. Well, most of the jobs are going to be robotic. It's not going to be thousands of jobs. And the trade-off is, as Charlie Behrens has pointed out, almost every place these data centers are built, the price of electricity to you and I, the general Wisconsinite, goes up. And add into that the millions of gallons of water that these data centers need to cool all this stuff. And again, these data centers, it's, you know, it supports the cloud. Right, Summers?
Yeah, and one quick note on the water usage. A lot of them are using different cooling system with a closed loop, so it's not consuming water necessarily, but it still could raise the temperature of a lake, which is really bad for fish. Or even with a closed loop, instead of using up water, now it's just going to use a lot more electricity.
Right. No, you're absolutely right, and that's what leads to higher prices. And as Charlie Behrens, as you pointed out, Somers, we don't know the full implication to our lakes, our fish, our streams. And I think most Wisconsinites value the fact that we have some great trout streams in this state. And some great places to lakes, to fish for bluegills, crappies, walleye, bass. And I think we better be pretty careful and do some more research here and ask some more pointed questions. And I've said on this program, I get it. From a local elected official standpoint, because unfortunately, the Republican-controlled legislature at the Capitol is not appropriating the amounts of money they should to help support local governments. So the local government is faced with the choice, either A, raise local taxes on our constituents to pay for things, or try to do one of these kind of out-of-the-box deals. So the local elected official is put in a box. But be careful before you sign these agreements, because the implications to our communities could be lifelong. Come back. Take your phone calls. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. And also tell you about AI. What skills will keep you employed in the age of AI? We'll discuss it and tell you what they are on the other side. It's the All Ball Show on Civic Media.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Looking for the perfect gift or something truly unique? Come explore Maker Square, your local handmade marketplace at 1022 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. With over 35 talented crafters, you'll find jewelry, soaps, craft kits, seasonal decor, apparel, and more, all crafted with care and perfect for gift giving. And with featured items from young entrepreneurs. They host DIY classes, monthly craft fairs, and sip and shops. Follow them on Facebook at Maker Square LLC to see what's new. Maker Square, where creativity comes to life.
To everyone who believes in magic, let our team member Teppy tell you how we do it at Culver's.
We're talking about Midwest magic. Wow. This is the kind of magic that transforms real farm-fresh dairy into world-class Wisconsin cheese. Oh. It's about handcrafting every meal with love, because at Culver's, we want every bite to be turned into a smile. Order ahead in the app or online and come taste the magic for yourself.
From Wisconsin with love, welcome to Delicious.
Culver's on 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is, and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 now, past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Tuesday, October 28th. Aaron Zummers on the board. Glad to have you along here, talking a little bit more about another proposed data center, this time in the south central part of the state, here in Dane County, one of our suburbs of Madison called DeForest. Not the trees, but DeForest. Anyway. One of these data centers trying to hone in, and I get it from local governments who are not getting the appropriate amounts of money from the state capitol and the Republican-controlled legislature for local government to keep services going. Then they say, well, okay, we either got to cut services locally or we got to raise the local taxes on our friends and neighbors. And along come these out-of-towner, out-of-state, and sometimes out-of-country folks that say, well, here's a few million dollars if you let us build a data center. And it's all kind of ambiguous. It's like, oh, yeah, we all use data. And the more that we use the handheld devices, right, the more data centers we need to store all this. But what isn't being talked about enough, particularly in this state, is the damage this potentially could do to our waterways, to our fish in those waterways, and the fact that it could raise electricity prices on the average everyday consumer. So I caution people. I mean, there's another one down in Janesville last night in Rock County. where another data center, they want to take over the old GM plant, General Motors plant that closed years ago. Want to transform that into a data center. Well, have you ever been to Janesville? They have the beautiful Rock River and everything there. And none of this, very little of this is being taken into consideration. And so I urge all of, I mean, this could hit every part of Wisconsin, you guys. So I hope everyone listening to this program, when these data centers are proposed for your local community, go to the meetings. Ask questions. Because this is going to affect all of us as Wisconsinites in one way or the other. Let's go to the phone lines, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Troy, listening in Mount Horeb on WMDX here in Madison. Troy, thanks for calling. What say you?
I'm wondering in the Milwaukee area how they're getting these approved. Waukesha had to beg for water from the Great Lakes. Mm-hmm. Every border state and Canada to the Great Lakes had to approve Waukesha getting water. So how are these data centers being allowed to use these massive amounts of water?
I don't know. I don't know the 100% answer, Troy. My best guess, educated guess is, and I'll double check myself on this. My guess is because Waukesha was going to use that water from the Great Lakes as part of their municipal water system, where these data centers, right, the way that they presented, at least in some cases, to Zahmer's earlier point is, well, they're not actually consuming, quote unquote, the water. They're just letting it pass through to cool their system. So they're not actually taking water out of the Great Lakes. They're just letting it pass through. And my guess is that's the difference.
You would think these governments wouldn't want the lake's temperature to be raised like it's going to.
Bingo.
On that also, and they would object to that as well.
You would think. And I think there are citizens and groups out there that are doing just that. But yes. But the point, Troy, you bring it up, I've talked about, is that I get it, right? As a former local elected official in this state, I get it that when costs are going up locally and the Republican legislature is not giving you the amount of money that you need, then as a local elected official, it's either you got to look your friends and neighbors in the face and say, I'm voting to raise your taxes, or these people come in from out of town and dangle
your environment.
Right. But the way it's being presented, and you've seen, you know, Troy, you've seen this, I'm sure. I mean, the reason I'm so skeptical is because I was working in the state capitol for former Republican Senator Dale Schultz when Scott Walker tried to fracking in the state and overrode local governments to allow fracking in the state, and also the same snow job up in northern Wisconsin. And this is how they sold it. By the way, thanks for calling, Troy. This is how they sold it, was that tens of thousands of jobs. All we have to do is change our environmental standards to make it easier for mining companies. And remember that state of the state that Walker had, Scott Walker, where it looked like the village people behind him. they had guys in hard hats and axe picks. And remember, they brought the state flag and said, oh, look, there's a miner on our state flag. This is our heritage. Well, yeah, when the state was founded. And they used that as a reason. And the leader in changing Wisconsin's environmental laws to do this was, as they say, toxic Tom Tiffany, who is in the state senate at the time, now wants to be governor. And you know how many, and they passed, my boss was the only one on the Republican side to vote against it. And they passed it, and they changed the environmental laws to endanger our rice fields, our native rice fields, to endanger our trout streams, to endanger our lakes, to endanger the Great Lakes, to endanger people's drinking water. And how many jobs has it created? Zero. Not one. We got time yet. Ollie and Kurt, hang on. We got to do a little farm news with our friend Pam Yonke and the Midwest Farm Report, and we'll come back and discuss this a little bit further. Because I think it's an important, I get the allure All right? It's not that I don't understand the allure for local governments, but I've seen this movie before. I bought the T-shirt. I know how it ends. And it ain't good for Wisconsin. Come on back. 855-752-4842 is the All Ball Show for a Tuesday. We will talk more about data centers, and we will tell you how to survive AI on the other side of the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
It is possible by the end of the week, more than 40 million low-income households will face no food stamp assistance, no help with grocery bills at all. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. But Wisconsin farmers stepping in to help their local communities. That story's next.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
The National Farmers Union, along with the Wisconsin Farmers Union and Farmers Union Enterprises, trying to do what they can to prop up rural communities when it comes to food assistance programs and the lack of funding that may occur by the end of the week. Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, says that they delivered 35,000 pounds of pork to Feeding America in eastern Wisconsin.
Just felt that with the current situation and farmers, especially in a bad spot, but also with the federal government and not knowing if there's going to be SNAP dollars available, wanted to make sure that communities around the upper Midwest had a little bit extra protein to consume and be available for those folks that can't afford to buy it. And, you know, it's one of those things that as farmers, we want to make sure that people have high quality food.
Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, says the 35,000 pounds of pork here in Wisconsin, part of a bigger donation effort across five states. They donated a total of 175,000 pounds of pork to five different states.
From mealtime to snack time, pork has got you covered. Toss chops, rice, veggies, and seasonings in one pan for a weeknight flavor that gets everyone excited. Or add Italian sausage to soup for instant comfort food vibes. It's flavors worth sharing around the table because when pork's involved, every meal becomes the main event. For more crowd-pleasing recipes, visit tastewhatporkcando.com. This message brought to you by Wisconsin Pig Farmers and the Pork Checkoff.
And in case you didn't know it, this week is Bat Appreciation Week, not just in Wisconsin, but it's an annual international celebration. Did you know that with over 1,450 species, bats make up about 20% of all mammal species, making them the second largest group of mammals on Earth? Want to learn more about bats? Go to the Wisconsin DNR website and search for bats. That's a quick update on food news on a Monday. I'm PM Yonke.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price, a mostly cloudy sky on tap for your Tuesday afternoon. East to southeast winds a bit breezy with highs in the mid-50s. Overnight, we keep mostly cloudy skies, still breezy in mid-30s. On Wednesday, mostly sunny and highs in the low to mid-50s. It's 53 at our studios.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
He scores! Wow!
It's on.
And save. Badgers win the shootout.
In America's college hockey capital.
Empty net goal at the horn.
Badger hockey lives here.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric Inc., Rapids Transmission, Junkyard Bar & Grill, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM and on the Civic Media app.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome director of Now More Yes, Max Hay, then Madison-based film critic Rob Thomas and I talk new movies. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
This one goes out to Toxic Tom Tiffany.
But can't you see I'm calling?
Well, it's Toxic by Britney Spears.
Leslie Dunn, welcome back to the program. The Todd Hallball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock. Britney Spears and Toxic. Well done. It sounds like the way they, I mean, it was just, that's the way the song is, but it freaks me out because it sounds like it's cutting out or something. It's a weird song.
It's just the way that the samples are, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right, welcome back. We're talking about the implications of people like Toxic Tom Tiffany, former state senator from northern Wisconsin, now U.S. congressman that wants to be governor, running for it in next year's elections. These data centers in Wisconsin. By the way, Zomer, don't let me forget, great report, by the way, from Midwest Farm Report Director Pam Yonke, talking about the pork producers giving away meat in Wisconsin to people who SNAP benefits could be cut off at the end of this week. I want to return to that a little bit later because our own Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation area, similar thing happening in Milwaukee. So especially for our listeners on WAUK, I want to come back to that. But right now, talking about these data centers, there's one going to be proposed here in Dane County in DeForest, one down in Rock County, a new one they had a hearing on last night in Janesville, happening all over the state. And I get the local elected officials are intrigued by this because they don't want to raise taxes of their local friends and neighbors, and the Republicans in the state legislature aren't adequately funding them. So these out-of-state and sometimes out-of-country investors come in and say, well, I'll give you X millions of dollars to build a data center. But what we don't know yet is the full impact it has on our streams and lakes in terms of fish population and our drinking water. And we do know that in most cases where these data centers have been built, local electricity prices to local consumers go up. So I've seen this movie before in the Walker administration when they gut environmental laws on mining in northern Wisconsin and said they're going to bring all kinds of jobs. And it turned out to be a boondoggle. The environmental rules got gutted, but no jobs. So just I'm just bringing this up because it's going to affect all of us in Wisconsin. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go first of all to Ollie in the North Woods, listening on WBZH in Hayward. Ollie, thanks for calling. What say you?
Well, I'm so glad you're bringing this up again and again, because I think people really need to know how disastrous this can be for our state. Water-wise, electric-wise, bills have gone up. I've been checking this out for quite some time and watched a lot of videos and done a lot of research. And the amount of water that they use is horrendous. And they go to town halls and they tell people what the people want to hear.
Right.
That money is coming your way, but they don't tell them the real story. And I watched people from towns in the South say how bad it has been for their town. People who live next to them, their wells have run dry. They have sludge in their pumps instead of fresh water. And these are farmers that this is happening to. Can Wisconsin, the land of the dairy farmer, afford to have this happen here out in the Northeast? I don't remember exactly what state it was. But they had a drought, normal drought, but it was made 10 times worse by the amount of water used by the data centers.
Yeah.
And you also brought up the point about mining, which has been on local news recently, that they plan to relax any regulations when it comes to data centers.
Right. No, it all goes together. Ollie, thanks for the call. All great points, and I'm not saying I'm an environmental lawyer and have all the answers here. I'm just saying, based on research that I've done, but listen to other people, Charlie Behrens isn't going to risk his livelihood or his reputation of being an honest Wisconsin straightforward guy if he didn't have some data. I admire Charlie Behrens for coming out against these data centers. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Kurt, listening on WMDX here in Madison. Kurt, what do you want to say?
I'm really glad you're having this discussion, because as someone who has an engineering background, I see a lot of stuff that I cringe. I couldn't believe of what happened. So to get to the point is, what we're discussing here is the externalities of what will happen if we put a facility like this in different places of the country, or in this case, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And if that same logic and procedure was done with everything, just about everything we consume, I'm not talking about groceries and stuff like that, but the things that we buy in the store and 2 years later throw away and ends up in a landfill,
right,
it would change the landscape of pollution in a staggering way. And the only other thing I want to add into this is, if we are going to do the data centers, then maybe we should have someone smart enough to conduct business like Alaska did with the pipeline.
Right.
So you put everything in place to ensure that they're not pulling groundwater to exhaust their water. They're not polluting. Mm. They're not, and they have to engineer this in a way that it's almost zero impact. You'll never get to zero. But then collect the fees. You want us to have this? Screw us getting the increase on power and water. No, for every megabit of data that flows from these things, you're going to be writing us a dividend check.
Yeah. No, great,
and
great call.
Back into Wisconsin.
Great point, Kurt. Really appreciate that. Really thoughtful and being an engineer. Important call as well. I appreciate that. 855-752-4842. Let's go up to beautiful Northwest Wisconsin, the Chippewa Valley, on WCFW, the tap up in beautiful Eau Claire. Gene in Eau Claire. Gene, thanks for calling. What say you?
Great job here. Wonderful topic. You know, the people that this is impacting right now, everybody needs to educate themselves, and thank you for providing that. People need to do more. And your local representatives, and we've been through this. I've been through this with sand mining BS that went on and all the stuff that comes with that. But your representatives need your support in order to turn down these companies. And the larger the number of constituents that stand up and call this out in their concerns, the easier it is for those people to vote no.
Mm-hmm.
And they are offering the world. There's so many things that are impacted, your streets and roads, that comes to you when they're doing the construction part. You guys will be paying for it. It's unbelievable. And, you know, we saw the debacle. People lost their lands, you know, when they grabbed their lands, annexed their lands. Farmers lost property and stuff, and it was a big boondoggle. So thank you so much, Todd, for covering this. And people, please be aware. Talk to people who have dealt with this. Really do your research, because it will impact you, not in a positive way. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Gene. Appreciate you, Gene. Gene Eau Claire, WCFW, The Tap. Gene brings up a great point, which is all of us, but everywhere across this state, you have a much larger impact on your local municipality. All right? That's not to say that I'm anti-No Kings rally or anything like that. I think they're great. It gives people a sense we're not alone. It shows American discontent, you know, standing up to power. I think that's all great. But simply based on my own experience, major protests, with maybe the exception of the civil rights movement, But big protests usually don't have a direct impact on an outcome. I worked in the Capitol when 100,000 people showed up to protest Act 10. And other than my former boss, Dale Schultz, every other Republican didn't care. And the reason my boss voted no wasn't because of the 100,000 protesters. He voted no because he went into his own district and had 700 people in a gymnasium at Dodgeville High School. And that was repeated in Richland Center, in Mauston, in Reedsburg, in Platteville, in Lancaster. And he listened to his own constituents. So protests, major protests, usually don't have a direct line of impact on law or policy. What does have an impact is when you show up to your local city council meeting or your local town board meeting or your local county board meeting or your local school board meeting, because the people there know that you're directly voting for them or not. And so Gene's point, show up at these local governmental meetings. It will have a huge impact. 855-752-4842, talking about data centers in the state of Wisconsin. They're going to touch everybody, you guys. So if it hasn't come to your community yet, be prepared. Rick in Waukesha, listening to WAUK, Waukesha, Milwaukee. Rick, what say you?
Well, they're talking about the heat temperature in the lake. Do they have any kind of holding ponds to cool the temperature down?
Great question.
Before they put it in the lake?
Right.
You know? Somehow to not make it such a big shock?
That's a great question, Rick. I appreciate it. Thank you so very much, Rick and Waukesha on AUK. These are the types of questions that we should not only be asking at local meetings, but we should demand scientific answers for. Brett in Brown Deer on WAUK says the one thing they are trying to put in Port Washington, or the one they're trying to put in Port Washington, the data center, will consume as much energy as it takes to power 4 million homes. That demand will raise everyone's electric bills, and it has no other choice. The Chuckster. Haven't heard from the Chuckster in a while. Great to hear from the Chuckster in Racine. Listening to WMDX actually here in Madison. Must be using the Civic Media app. Don't forget, you can too. Download it for free in your Apple or Android device. The Civic Media app. It's free. Takes less than a minute to download. So what Gail King over at CBS News, at least for now, calls a deal. We'll get into that in a minute. The Chuckster says, wasn't it the Scott Walker / Donald Trump era of our state GOP lawmakers changed water use and access laws for Foxconn and its promise of 13,000 jobs? It was the Walker administration, but part of it lingered on into the Trump administration. Trump was not president when the Foxconn deal was cut. Talk about another boondoggle. Ask people in Southeast Wisconsin about that. All right, it is 47 minutes past the hour. I want to make sure we get into this. AI, artificial intelligence. All right. A lot of people worry this is going to take jobs, right? What skills will keep you employed in the age of AI? Well, humans are already losing jobs to artificial intelligence, but others are getting new jobs because they know AI and how to work with it. Adapting to AI will not be simple. It will require continued learning. Working with AI means questioning its results and keeping up as AI continues to improve. Adapting to AI won't be about technical skills. It'll be about having good human judgment. We're going to talk a little bit more on the other side. How we survive AIs, taking your calls as well on a Tuesday. 855-752-4842. Come on back. It's the All Ball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. October 27th, Indiana Governor Mike Braun signed a proclamation calling the state's legislature into special session on November 3rd to consider congressional redistricting and a tax code issue. This follows weeks of lobbying by Trump administration officials worried that the GOP may lose control of the U.S. House. Indiana is already a very red state, with Democrats only holding 2 of 9 seats, District 1 in Northwest Indiana and District 7 in Indianapolis. Creating a GOP-leaning district will require cracking the existing districts and diluting liberal strongholds by adding Republican voters from adjoining areas. The Indiana Capital Chronicle reports that the state House has enough votes to pass a gerrymandering plan, but Senate leaders say they're still short of the votes needed. In Kansas, Democratic Governor Laura Kelly refused to call a special session for redistricting, but KCUR reports that Senate President Ty Masterson confirmed October 27th that he has the 27 signatures in the state Senate to activate a constitutional provision allowing the legislature to call the special session itself. But it's not clear if there are the 84 signatures needed from the House. The only competitive congressional district in the state, Congressional District 1, south of Kansas City, is held by Democrat Sharice Davids. We've linked to local reporting and the current congressional maps at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
In August, Patty and Eddie of Cabins on the Lake in Friendship lost their home in a devastating fire. These two people are always the first to help others, and now it's our turn to help them. Join us for a fun benefit Saturday, November 1st from noon until 5 p.m. at Connell's Cedar Shack in Adams. Music, food, live and silent auctions with awesome prizes, 50-50s, and lots of fun. All proceeds go to assist Patty and Eddie rebuild. Join us November 1st at Connell's Cedar Shack, just south of Adams on Highway 13. You'll have a good time for a great cause.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Here is a list of trick-or-treat times happening on Friday, October 31st in the central Wisconsin area. Wisconsin Rapids, Grand Rapids, Buren, Nakusa, and Port Edwards, 5 to 7 p.m. Vesper and Rudolph, 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. Pittsville, Stevens Point, and Plover, 5 to 8 p.m. Adams and Friendship, 4 to 7 p.m. And don't miss the spooktacular trunk-or-treat event starting at 5 o'clock at the sports complex on 2401 Cedar Drive in Plover, hosted by the Plover Police and Fire Department, Plover Whiting Youth Athletics, and the Boys and Girls Club of Portage County.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. I've looked into the future. I've consulted a crystal ball, a futuristic. I'm going to perish at the hands, the paws of an AI dog, a robotic. I know it. That's going to be the death of me, the robotic dog. Welcome back to the Todd Hall Paul Show, everybody. Nice job, Zommers. That's, what is that, 1987? Mr. Roboto?
83, actually.
83. Wow. All right. Very good. Zommers on the tunes there. Glad to have you along. 8 to make it 7 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock, hour number 2. What's worse for you? Raking leaves or cleaning the gutters, a Wisconsin fun fact. Lots to get to. What's happening at CBS? How it's going to impact the news that we watch. Truth is endangered right now in legacy news media. Tony Evers talking about the Affordable Care Act premiums for Wisconsinites. We'll get to that. Oh, Canada, the new ad driving Trump nuts. And Mike Clemens gets Aaron Rodgers to tell a cool story about his time in Green Bay. All that in hour two, so stay tuned. Right now we're talking about the skills that you need to stay employed in the age of AI. Also talking about data centers here in Wisconsin. Just to finish up the AI part, we said adapting to artificial intelligence won't be about technical skills. It will be about having good human judgment. Good judgment is based in honesty, trustworthiness, and ethics. good judgment that enables us to use data from a machine to help make decisions that are good for humans and good for business. I think that's some pretty good advice, Tom. I'm sorry, I don't believe in my lifetime, maybe in you, but not my life. They're not going to come up with an AI that can completely replace the human brain in terms of ethics.
No, I don't think so. That's, at least so far, that's one of the few things that can distinguish being a human. That's one of the things that makes us human.
Exactly. 855-752-4842. Let's go up to beautiful Merrimack. Jack in Merrimack. Jack, thanks for calling in, listening to WMDX. What say you?
Well, first of all, the thing that obviously makes us human is being able to pick out the traffic lights on a 3x3 grid.
Right. That's another so right. Are you a bot? Anybody who's ever tried to log on to something, are you a bot?
Which, quick thing, bots can do those puzzles. The thing is they do them too fast.
Oh,
people are slow. That's why it works.
All right. Jack, well, go ahead.
Okay. So the issue with data centers is complex, and I know you realize that. The problem I see is everybody has a not-in-my-backyard attitude that has been talking on your show so far.
Right.
And
including me, by the way. I'll put myself in that category, but go ahead.
But we're going to need them, and they're going to be built somewhere, and what has to be done, and of course with the current administration this is not going to happen, but those kind of things have to be appropriately regulated, just like a lot of other businesses should be, which they aren't being done either on this administration. But that's another topic. But the bottom line is for instance, yes, you should have cooling towers, and I'm a scientist, but I'm definitely not an expert on data centers, but if you're going to use a lot of water and it's going to be heated up, you're going to have cooling towers before you end up recycling that water. One of the other things is that there should be a requirement that if you build a center like this, you supply at least 50% of the power. Solar panels, wind power and batteries, I don't care how it's done, not fossil fuels, But that should be another important thing about regulating these data centers.
See, Jack, you just made it clear one of the reasons I love doing this show every day, because of people like you and all of our other great listeners, because you bring balance to the show, Jack. You've kept me honest, and I appreciate that, because you're right. I'll put myself in the NIMBY, not in my backyard category, but I think you make a great and important point that it's not, and we've had people on the show that have said, look, you can't just stop data centers from ever happening, but it's how you do it. And I appreciate the balance, Jack, and I guess I'll give a qualified opinion, which is, yes, if it's done like you're suggesting, under a heavy regulation, and done the right way, quote-unquote, a correct way, okay. But I have no confidence in, as we sit here right now, in the next 3.5 years, that will happen, and that's why I'm so opposed to it. Is that fair?
That's certainly a reasonable approach with the current administration. I mean, the whole idea is laissez-faire economics with this administration.
Right.
Which is you can't have a capitalist society with no regulations whatsoever. And that's what these guys want.
Yeah. Appreciate the call, Jack. Have a great day up there. Beautiful Merrimack. Forgot to ask about the ferry. I think it's still open. Ferry is still open up there at Merrimack. All right. I want to hit this quickly. Dan Schaefer passing this along. The city of Milwaukee, Milwaukee County, Milwaukee Public School District, the Milwaukee Bucks. How about that? Faith leaders and other partners are launching a unified effort to ensure families have access to food and basic necessities during the federal government shutdown. Food share benefits are expected to be paused on November 1st, i.e. SNAP or food stamps, due to the ongoing government shutdown. In collaboration with the Feeding America Eastern Wisconsin and Nourish Milwaukee, The drive will collect non-perishable food and monetary donations to support Milwaukee area food pantries. We'll give you more details in hour number two. Come on back. That, lots of current event topics, and what's worse, and Zomer is spinning cool tunes. All that and more for a Tuesday edition of the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Powerful Hurricane Melissa has made landfall in Jamaica.
She's slow and she's wide, so all areas of the island are expected to feel some impact.
Esther Pennick of the Red Cross in Jamaica. Melissa is a Category 5 storm. Meteorologist Craig Allen.
The storm is coming ashore with 185 mile per hour winds. There have been gusts noted over 200 miles per hour, and just above the surface, more towards the top of the mountainous terrain, some gusts over 225 miles per hour.
Tourists like Wayne Todd are hunkered down in Negril.
They've made sure to give us plenty of rations. We get plenty of water and food.
Meteorologist Andrew Kozak says they'll be hunkered down for hours because the storm is such a slow mover.
This is going to be a prolonged issue all day long for the western part of the island.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Cammie McCormick.